What provision do you have for the future? Do you feel that you've made adequate provision for your retirement years? How about life insurance? Do you have a retirement plan? Are you saving money in your savings account? The Lord here talks about a man who was thinking of the future. The parable we're going to read is in Luke chapter 12 and verse 13. One out of the crowd said unto him, Teacher, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me. But he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, he turns now to the crowd, and he says to them, Take heed, keep yourself from all covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he reasoned within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have not where to bestow my fruit? He said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, Thou foolish one, this night is thy soul required of thee, and the things which thou hast prepared, whose shall they be? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We all think in terms of security, don't we? Maybe the years are passing, you're thinking more of the future and of your retirement, and you're wondering, how will I get along? Will Social Security still be functioning? Will it be adequate? Will I have enough saved and put aside? How will I get along in the future? Am I secure? Am I financially secure? And for many people, this is very important. They're thinking in terms of this. I remember hearing a bank once had as its little advertising ditty, What a wonderful feeling, money in the bank. And for most people, the thought of having adequate security means having stocks and bonds or savings or property, income property, an adequate provision for one's retirement. This is what this man was thinking about. Now, what brought it on was the younger man who comes up to him and says, my brother won't divide the inheritance with me. I want you to make him do it, because I'm not getting my share, and I'm not getting what I should have. Perhaps his father had died, and he realized I should get something. And his older brother, apparently, was just taking it all and not giving any to him. Now, Jesus said to him this. He said, I'm not a judge or divider over you. Yet, that's true. The scripture says that God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And when Jesus came the first time, he didn't come as a judge. He came as a savior. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now the time is coming when he comes back as a judge. And the scripture says the Father has committed all judgment to the Son. And the time is coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And the time is coming when every man will give account of himself to God. So there's a day of judgment coming. But what Jesus is saying to him is, listen, I'm not in the world now for the purpose of judging. I'm in the world for the purpose of saving. And I think we can say we're thankful that it's still true that the message we give is a message that God loves sinners and Christ died for them and God wants to save. Christ is the Savior of sinners. And then he takes off from this incident to tell this parable. And he said to the crowd, be careful and keep yourself from covetousness. A man's life consists not in the abundance of the things he possesses. In other words, Jesus is saying, guard yourself from just constantly wanting more things, coveting, desiring, living for these things, desiring money, desiring financial security, constantly driving toward this goal. And you know, for many men, this is the drive of their life. You see men that will sacrifice their business, or rather I should say their family. They'll sacrifice their leisure time. They'll sacrifice recreation, everything for their work, for their business, for getting ahead, and for having better and more secure investments. Everything takes second place to that. They may sacrifice their wife and family and just, you know, end up in a divorce because of this drive to acquire more. Jesus said, don't live for these things. Don't make money, don't make security your God in life. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, it speaks of covetousness, which is idolatry. If you are putting money first, if you are putting your security first, if you're just thinking in terms of material success and material security, you're an idolater. You're worshiping money. You might as well make a little shrine in your home, pin a dollar bill or $100 bill if you've got it up on the wall, burn candles in front of it and bow down and worship, because that's what's first in your life. This is idolatry. This is making money your God. And Jesus warns against that. And he says real living isn't having things. There's more to life. Yeah, there's more purpose for man than simply to acquire things. A bigger home, a better car, more money in the bank, more investments, more real estate, more land. This can become an insatiable hunger in your life. I have a friend who has an uncle in western Kansas. He says, my uncle cannot stand to see anyone own land next to his. So he's constantly buying the next farm, constantly enlarging his holdings. Just this insatiable lust for more land. Jesus said, life is more than that. And then he tells this parable of this man who was rich. And this man who had such a tremendous harvest that he said, I won't even have room to store it. I'll have to tear down my old buildings, my storage buildings. I'm going to have to put up new buildings, new grain bins, and I'm going to take in this harvest. It's such a bumper crop. And then he says, I've reached my goal. I've wanted security. Now I've got it. And now the rest of my life, I'm going to take it easy. I've worked hard. The Lord knows I've worked hard, worked my fingers to the bone, and now I've got security, and I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to just sit back, and I'm going to say to my soul, take your ease. Quit work. Time to retire. This is what you've been working for, retirement and security. Now you've got it. Enjoy it. Eat, drink, be merry. Travel, enjoy life, eat the best food. Drink the best wines if this is what you want. Satisfy every desire that you want. Because now you have the money, you have the security, you have the wealth that will enable you to enjoy everything this life can offer. Doesn't that sound good? And isn't that really what the goal of many people is? And maybe as you're listening to me, you have to say, well, really, that's my goal. I'm planning for retirement. I'm looking forward to it. Some of you are looking forward to early retirement. And you're saying, I don't want to work all my life. I want to quit as soon as I can. I want to enjoy life. We're going to, you know, we have plans to buy this recreational vehicle. And we're just interested in traveling around. We'd like to visit Europe. We have all kinds of plans, all kinds of things we want to do. I love to fish. Boy, I've got some of the lakes in mind and some streams in mind that I'm going to go fishing on. And you have all these plans for the future. when you're going to enjoy life, and you've worked hard, and you say, now I'm going to just sit back, I'm through working, I'm going to enjoy, I'm going to do everything I've wanted to do and haven't had time for, and I'll have the security. I'll have the financial security so I can do it. But God looks down on this man and he says, you're a fool. Hate to say it, but you're a fool. Because you don't know it, but tonight you're going to die. And you're not going to enjoy your retirement. And you're not going to enjoy all these things. You're going to be dead. They're going to have a funeral for you, and you're going to be buried. You're going to be put under 6 feet of earth. And your body is going to rot. It's going to decay. It's going to go back to earth. And what about your money? What about everything you've worked for? What about everything that you've really sweat over? It's not going to be yours. Maybe it'll go to some son or daughter that'll squander it, that'll waste it. And everything you've labored over is going to be gone. It's going to be gone. And you'll be dead. And where will you be then? Those are questions we need to ask ourselves. If you're living for yourself, Jesus says, and you're not thinking of God, you haven't put your faith in God, you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus, you're not a believer, you're not living for the things of God, you're a fool to just live for the things of this world and leave God out. If you're rich as far as this world is concerned, but you ignore God, God says you're a fool. And you may die before you can ever begin to enjoy those things. Or if you do enjoy them for a while, and you enjoy your retirement, the time will come when sickness and death will strip you of everything you have lived for. Everything is going to be stripped from you. Job said, naked I came into the world and naked I'm going to leave it. And we're all going to be like that. None of us are going to take with us the things that we've acquired. So the Lord says, how foolish. How foolish just to live for the things of this life. Life is uncertain. Are you ready to die? Are you ready to face God? Do you know your sins are forgiven? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus? If you haven't, oh, you need to do that. The Lord may be saying to you, you're foolish, tonight you're going to die. And if you're a believer, oh, let's live for the things of God. Let's not just live selfishly. Let's not just live lives of getting, but let's give. Let's be rich toward God. And be giving to his work and giving to the things that really matter. And then when we die, we won't die as fools. We'll die as those who've lived for God, and we'll go into the very presence of the Lord Jesus with joy and not with regret.